Good morning, church. Pastor Dale here. It's so good to be able to greet you on this beautiful summer Sunday morning. Welcome to worship here at Central. Hey, if you are joining us this morning, if you're connecting with us via radio or online, let us know that you're connecting, especially those of you online. It's a way that we can take attendance, but it's also maybe even more importantly when you see that list of names of those who are connecting to imagine those neighbors that you miss being with and their smiling faces. So let us know you're watching. We appreciate that. I would also mention that if you're new, maybe you're tuning in for the first time, thanks for joining us, and please keep coming this way, and hopefully when we can be together in person again, that you'll join us here in the sanctuary. We'd love that. Speaking of being together again, I do want to let you know that due to the more recent restrictions on the size of indoor gatherings from Governor Whitmer, and as well some cautionary words from our bishop, that we are going to push out the regathering date for in-person worship here in the sanctuary. So at this point, we're looking at an after Labor Day start, and that would be on September 13th. So please pray with me. Let's pray together that we will be able to gather safely at that time. But in the meantime, good things are happening here at Central Church. You know, our outreach ministry is continuing to do good work in terms of helping those who are hurting and homeless in the area with food and other services. Our mission team is going to host worship next Sunday and bring a special message from Amy Brown, who is the director of the NOAA Project out of Central UMC in Detroit. NOAA provides aid, relief to those who are hurting and homeless in the Detroit area. So we look forward to hearing Amy's message. And I would also mention along those lines that hopefully you received an envelope and letter from the mission team. And that's an opportunity for you to give an over and above offering to support those many projects that the mission team funds on our behalf. So please give generously when you see that envelope as you're able to do. A couple other good things. Our children's ministry is going to be hosting a new class, kind of a family-friendly intergenerational class called Praying in Colors. That's starting on August 12th. Invite you to be a part of that. They're also planning a blessing of the backpacks, a drive-through blessing of the backpacks for Labor Day Sunday. So put that on your calendar as well. In terms of adult classes, a Sunday morning pilgrimage continues, as well as the Covenant Disciple Group. Both of those are available to you. And there is a new lineup of classes that are going to be put in play here soon for the fall. Last thing I want to mention is that Pastor Jane is our preacher today and helping to lead in worship. And so I invite her to come now and call us to worship.
If God is for us, who is against us? God, who gave us Christ, now gives us the Spirit and power. The Holy One is in our midst, equipping us for life in the service of Christ. In Christ, we are more than conquerors, for nothing in creation can separate us from the love of God. May the all-surpassing grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you, and the unshakable love of God be with you, and the joyous communion of the Holy Spirit be with you as we worship today.
Joy of heaven to earth come down. Let us find that second rest. Take away our bent to sinning. Alpha and Omega be, and our faith as its beginning. Set our hearts at liberty. Come on.
Kids, it's Pastor Jane, and I get to do the children's time with you. You're probably wondering why I have this wonderful red cape. It's because we're talking about superheroes and superpowers today. So, I want you to tell the people who you're watching this with right now, if you had a superpower, what would it be? Oh, I bet you have some amazing ideas. You don't think of it right now, it's okay. You have the whole next hour to think about it. But you might know the superpower for some of these superheroes. Now, who's this? Who's this? Batman. You're right, it's Batman. And what are Batman's superpowers? Martial arts. He also has a very good mind as a superpower. Very good. Okay. And who is this superhero? Come on, you can get, yes, Wonder Woman. And do you know what her superpower is? Yep, superhuman strength and speed. And she's got a cool outfit, too. Okay, so I have another one here. Who is this? Yes, it's Spidey, Spider-Man. And what is his superpower? That sticky web that he shoots out. And so he can climb things and stop things. And he also has his Spidey sense that warns him of danger. And I have one more. Who is this superhero? Well, I'm tricking you a little here. This is Jesus. This is Jesus. And what is Jesus' superpower? Come on. I know all of you would say at once, love. Love is Jesus' superpower. In the Bible reading that Pastor Dale's going to read in a little bit, he talks about this superpower of love that Jesus has, and the best thing is he shares that superpower with all of us. So I guess my superpower is love too. How about yours? Let's pray a minute now together. God, thank you for the fun we can have with Batman, Spider-Man, Wonder Woman, and all the others. But thank you for the best superhero ever, Jesus, whose superpower of love fills us with love. So we know that we are loved and that we can share that superpower with others. Amen.
Friends, let's unite our hearts together as we spend some time in prayer. And just, if you would, imagine it, whether you're on your porch outside or in your living room, that larger congregation and how in our hearts we can be one because of the powerful love of Christ. So let's unite our hearts and offer this prayer as one people to our one God. Lord of love and light, shine in our lives and bring your love into our souls. Remind us of the amazing ways that you have loved us, even when we've turned our back on you. Open our hearts to receive your loving spirit. Open our minds to receive your wisdom. Open our hands to show others Christ's compassion. Lord of love and light, we hold in our hearts those around us who feel unloved. We bring them to you for your love to shine into their lives. We hold in our minds those who are overwhelmed by their needs and difficulties. We hold in our hands your loving compassion for them. Lord of love and light, there are people and places in our land that are darkened by racial injustice, COVID disease, financial distress, and great loss. Shine forth your light and love in their lives and in those places. Shine your love and light on all who would lead us to a better place, especially your church. Lord of love and light, there are people and places that have closed their minds to you, to others, to new and fresh ideas. Shine forth your light and your love to open their minds to you, to others, two new ideas, fresh ideas that might heal and save our land by your grace. Lord of love and light, there are people and places that need our hands, reaching out to them with that loving compassion of Christ. May our reaching out shine your love and light, both as the church together and as we are spread out in those communities in which we live. Lord of love and light, the greatest of your gifts is that gift of love. Thank you for your Christ Jesus, who was and is and always will be the true love and light of the world. Amen. Please join with me as we say the prayer our Savior taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. I want to share this morning's scripture reading with you. This comes from the Apostle Paul's first letter to the ancient church in Corinth. Paul is writing to the church there about how love pulls them together, unites them in Christ to be the body of Christ for the world. And he's talking here about those gifts the Spirit gives us to do our work. As Pastor Jane just said, our superpowers, if you will, and the greatest of which is love. Let's listen to how the Apostle Paul put that. Strive, my friends, for the greater gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way. If I speak in tongues of mortals and angels, but I do not have love, I'm like a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. If I have prophetic powers and I understand all mysteries, if I have all knowledge, if I have faith so as to remove mountains, but I do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, so that I might boast and do not have love, well, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful, arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, we prophesy only in part, but when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, thought like a child, reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see dimly in a mirror, but then we will see face to face. Now we only see in part, but then we will be fully known even as we are fully known. And now faith, hope, and love, these three abide, but the greatest of these is love. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Perhaps you're like me and you've missed the State Theater, the Old Town Playhouse, the Opera House, Interlaken. I'm grateful that the way they are honoring the safety precautions is I wouldn't attend if they were open, but I miss them. Watching movies or musicals online has entertained and fed Chris and I over these months. Jesus Christ Superstar with John Legend was just as powerful watching it for the second time. I've watched The Irishman, the documentary Crip Camp, Da 5 Bloods. Yes, I lean toward the intense movies. But there are a few comedies thrown in there, like Book Club. Go ahead and tell me about a movie you've watched recently by putting it in the comments section on Facebook this morning. I promise I'll read them all because I'm really curious what you've been watching. Preparing for today's sermon, I recalled a comedy called Wedding Crashers. actors Owen Wilson and Vince Vaughn play best friends who crash wedding parties as a way to find women to date. They do so by developing elaborate cover stories to charm the crowd and become the life of the party. In one of the early scenes, the two are at a wedding ceremony sitting in the pews. And the pastor announces, "Now the bride's sister will read the scripture." And Owen leans over to Vince and says, "$20, 1 Corinthians." To which Vince replies, "Double or nothing, Colossians 3:12." The sister takes the podium and begins, "And now a reading from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians." Like Owen, my money would have been on 1 Corinthians 13 also. It's one of the best known passages in the Bible because of its usage in weddings. And it's easy to understand why. It represents one of the most beautiful poems on love found in the Bible. It has become one of those texts that we know exactly when to use it, right? But I wondered if we fully considered what it's saying to us. Let me give those of you who don't frequent Facebook an update on how I chose this scripture for today's sermon. In July, I couldn't think of a scripture in particular, and so I thought, why don't I let the people pick out the scripture reading? So I issued a challenge on Facebook for people to submit a scripture for me to preach on. And 26 people responded, and I put those all down, cut them up, and put them in a hat. And put my hand in there, pulled one out, and it was 1 Corinthians 13 from my friend Darnell. And after I announced who the winner was, Darnell said, "Mrs. Jane, the world needs more love today. The world needs more love today." To be honest, there were a few scripture submissions that intrigued me, and I was rooting for them. And there were some that I've preached on so often, I was wishing for them not to be picked, and 1 Corinthians 13, I must admit, was one of those. Because sometimes it feels like a cliche, you know? But fair is fair. I even filmed myself doing the drawing to eliminate my temptation to pick out a scripture that I wanted. And there it was, the wedding verse, 1 Corinthians 13. And after I announced it and received Darnell's response, "Mrs. Jane, the world needs more love today," I could not argue at all with the choice, because he is absolutely correct. The world does need more love today. Because right now, in the cultural and socio-political climate of our country, I admit sometimes I walk on the path that is precariously close to despair. Hatred and division, egoism, racism, both subtle and overt, lack of respect, simplistic memes, abusive language and actions, violence and threat of violence, and a sinister virus. After being on Facebook sometimes, I just want to go take a shower. Or after overhearing conversations in the grocery store, my mask is filthy with more than just germs. Listening to the news sources drives me to consider taking off my hearing aids, putting them in a box, and never putting them back on. Yep, I peek over the cliff and flirt with a pity party. I lean over into faithless despair. Yes, Darnell, the world needs more love today. This passage is more than an ode to wedded bliss. It's a call to a faith community, to people of faith. Let's take a step back and get the bigger picture. If we look before 1 Corinthians 13 and we look after 1 Corinthians 13, which, my friends, is always a good idea no matter what Bible passage you're looking at, we glean more about the original intent of the love chapter. In 1 Corinthians 12, the writer of the letter, Paul, is trying to reform the community at Corinth, as he has been in the chapters preceding that, 9, 10, 11, and in the chapters following, 14 and so on. Specifically in chapter 12, he's trying to reform their understanding and practices of spiritual gifts. That the gift of prophecy and the gift of speaking in tongues, for example, were not to be in competition, but that both and all the gifts were given to edify, build up the body of Christ. Basically, Paul is saying, quit using your particular gift as if it was something to brag about. Get your ego out of this. The Holy Spirit gives the gifts, and they are given to support and grow and benefit the entire community, the entire body of Christ. He revisits it again in chapter 13, doesn't he? When he writes the lines, if I speak in the tongue of angels, if I have all prophetic powers, if I have faith so as to move mountains, if I give away all my possessions, but have not what? But have not love. If I have any of these spiritual gifts but have not love, I am nothing. He continues this call to reform in chapter 14 and becomes even more specific about them as components in worship. Oh, and chapter 14 also has those lovely verses about women should be silent in church, but that's a sermon for another day. Paul's point in the totality of this letter is that the gifts of the Spirit are given to all members of the church for the building up of all members in the church. There's that little verse at the end of 1 Corinthians 12 that I asked Dale to include today. It's seldom read, and it may be one of the most potent verses in the Bible. It lays out the context we need for the love chapter. He has pushed home his point again in the last paragraph at 12, and then ends it with the line, I will show you a still more excellent way. I will show you a still more excellent way. Which leads then, opens the door to 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. He is inviting them, he's inviting us to a journey, a venture, a way of life known in full only by God, led by love incarnate, Jesus the Christ. And what is the most excellent way? Love, obviously. And what is the way of love? Well, let me tell you, says Paul. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love, Paul says, never ends. Love is not a higher and better spiritual gift. Rather, it is a way, a more excellent way, a manner of life in which all the gifts are to find their proper place. And second, love is not merely a feeling or an attitude. Rather, love is the name for specific actions of patient and costly service to others. If we attend closely to what Paul actually says in this chapter, all sweetly sentimental notions of love will be dispelled and replaced by a vigorous vision of love that rejoices in the truth and bears all suffering in the name of Jesus Christ. This This is how we as a community should treat each other. This is how we measure the effectiveness of our leaders. This is the more excellent way we should spend our lives striving to embody. This is the vision that never ends. It is the core of who we were created to be. There's a line in the movie, Love Actually, that reminds me of this. The movie explores in different ways that love takes shape in our relationships. In the opening scene, the actor Hugh Grant's character says that whenever he is depressed, he imagines the arrival section at Heathrow Airport. Their love seems uncomplicated as people receive and embrace the ones that they love. As he reflects on this, he adds, when the planes hit the Twin Towers, as far as I know, none of the phone calls from the people on board were messages of hate or revenge. They were all messages of love. We know how important love is. We know that it is the key to relationships. We know that it is at the heart of true Christian community. We know that it is what gives meaning to life. And we all live in hope that our lives will be filled with love. Where does that love come from? It's not the love between a married couple, but where does that love come from? It's not the love I have for my daughters, but where does that love come from? It doesn't come from the love I feel thinking about all of you in Central Church and the ways that we support each other and stick together despite our differences. It's not that love, but where does that love come from? We can't make it in a factory where they make PPE. We can't make it in a medical lab like a quick vaccination for a virus. We can't ban it from Facebook. We can't legislate it. Its source, God so loved the world that he gave his only son, Jesus. God so loved the world that in Jesus, God dared to come amongst us and put on humanity. That is the love. It's the love that put creation in motion. It's the love of a holy father who runs down the road to welcome a renegade prodigal son. It is the love that pushed through the power of death with resurrection to call forth a mighty wind to form the body of Christ on earth, the church. It bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things. It endures all things. Love never ends because it is God's excellent way. We don't have the last word. God's love has the last word. For we know only in part. We prophesy only in part. For we see in a mirror dimly and only know in part. Because God holds the whole picture. The big picture is a mystery. God knows us fully and calls us to the more excellent way of sacred love, even if we can't see exactly where that way was going to lead us. But it sure as sugar leads us the way from the precipice of despair. And what institutions, organizations, groups spend their time, talents, and resources calling people to love? It's not the politicians, it's not the universities, it's not business associations, it's the church, actually. The body of Christ is to be a learning lab for the more excellent way of love. All of us together, stick together, because it is the best chance we have of following the more excellent way. Whether we are a newly married couple or a 61-year-old woman depressed about the state of the country, or a child trying to navigate choices. The body of Christ is a learning lab for God's love. Thanks be to God, because, Mrs. Jane, the world needs more love today.
Thank you for that important message, Pastor Jane, that reminder of God's great love for us in Christ, and as well that the gift of the most excellent way that we get to live each and every day. You know, a phrase that has been important to me over the course of my ministry is that it costs something to follow Jesus. And as I think about that today, I'm reminded that that incredible love, that uplifting hope of Christ is worthy of our best response. And the way that we share our gifts, as the scripture named today, including those gifts of time and energy, our finances, that's the way it gets lived out every day. And so I want to say thank you for the way you do that, for the way you support us here, support your congregation here at Central Church. And as you'll see on your screen today, those of you who are watching, there's an opportunity to give in different ways. And I hope you'll continue your generous report of our ministry here, this ministry that we share together in Christ. I want to offer a prayer for us all now. God, you call us to be a people of that most excellent way, the way of love in Jesus Christ. We thank you for that calling. We have felt your spirit with us this morning in worship, and we pray that even as we feel assured today, that you'd unsettle us enough so that we would want to step into that way afresh today. Challenge us, Holy Spirit, to be that people of your great love in Christ this week. The best we can, we offer our gifts and our lives to that, and we pray it in Christ's name, even as we sing of praise together.
May the love of Jesus Christ bring us wholeness. May the grace of God Creator grant us peace. The breath of the Holy Spirit instill passion, and the unity between them give us strength for this and every day. Amen.